Spring is a season full of new life and new opportunities to celebrate. Hi, it's Alex Johnson from The Diamond Seller. Anniversaries, new babies, graduations, plus everything in between, discover the perfect gift for every occasion. Visit us at The Diamond Seller on Salmo Road or Easton Town Center.
I want to break free.
All right, we are on a tight pace here, trying to get this one out before the game starts tonight. But I had a conversation with a very, very loyal Detroit sports fan, and he previewed kind of the game tonight, what he's expecting to see out of this Red Wings team this year. It was my Uncle Steve. I had my Uncle Steve on the podcast. He came in, delivered a wealth of knowledge. So I'm really excited to get that to you guys. And yeah, without further ado, here is my conversation with, my Uncle Steve.
All right.
All right. Welcome back to the Hockey Dudes podcast. We got the Jackets and Red Wings tonight. And as you guys know, like to preview the team that the Jackets are playing. And I don't know if you know this. I told you this, Uncle Steve, but I was texting some writers and I wasn't able to get through to any of them. But then I thought to myself, wait, I'm from a big Detroit sports family, that what can these writers tell me that somebody like you, Uncle Steve, who's been a Red Wings fan for longer than any of these writers? I mean, you have seen it all the way through the golden eras of Steve Yzerman, and now you're seeing him as a GM. So just, I guess, Uncle Steve, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, Hayden. This is exciting. It's good to talk to you.
It is good to talk to you. I want to point out also that I didn't ask either of your sons or I didn't ask them or my cousins. I didn't ask either of them to do this because I know you do know more about the Red Wings because they say they know about the Red Wings and they say that they're fans, but I'm kind of feeling some bandwagon heat from them a little bit.
Yes, my sons have disappointed me a little bit, but that's okay. They live in Columbus, and I understand, but I do know deep down they are actually Detroit Red Wings fans.
That's right, and I mean, I know the story, I know the background, but just can you tell the folks what it's been like growing up a Red Wings fan, why you are a Red Wings fan?
Yeah, well, basically, I'm a Detroit fan. I will say this. I am a true Ohio State Buckeye fan, though. So all your Columbus listeners, just rest assured, I am a true Ohio State Buckeye 100%. But we live about 2 hours from Detroit, and my dad, anytime we went to anything professional as far as games, it was always up to Detroit. We had family up there. We had, you know, people he'd like to go see, and it was the closest professional team for us to go to. And so growing up, we just always went to the Detroit games.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is one weird thing about our family dynamic is I obviously live in Columbus, and a lot of people here are Cleveland or Cincinnati fans, but I picked Detroit, and you live up there in Northwest Ohio. And there's a lot of Michigan fans up there that are probably confused why you like Ohio State. You know what I mean? Like the Ohio State, yeah. Ohio-Michigan dynamic is interesting there.
Yeah, so I've got friends here in my area who are Cleveland and Cincinnati fans, but they are Michigan fans. So they're really
backwards.
They're really backwards. And I suppose I probably have the only license plate in the world that has all four Detroit teams on it. And then the middle of it has an Ohio State Buckeye logo.
There you go. Yeah. Those other people, they're sinners. That's what those people are.
That's
for sure.
Right. That is exactly right.
So go ahead and talk about that. I mean, fan of all four sports teams. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but the NBA preseason is tonight and the Pistons do not play on opening night, of course. Why would that be nationally televised? They play tomorrow night against the Bulls. But you're a fan of all four, man. I mean, I truly see that. Like my dad, your younger brother, older brother. He sometimes he feels like he's the younger brother to you on the golf course.
On the golf course, yep.
But he's a fan, but he's not in it like you are, or even like I am in my sports fandom. So just, I mean, you truly are a fan of all four sports teams. I've been to your house and seen the cards, the memorabilia. It's awesome. Can you rank them for me, though, in terms of who you love the most, your favorite children? Well, you can rank your favorite children in sports.
Absolutely. I don't know how I would really rank them. Whatever team's on, that's the one I like the most, I guess. Probably out of the sports, though, the one I really enjoy going to the games is I love going to the Detroit Tiger games. Yes. I just like going to baseball games. I've been to a few of the Red Wings games, and to see hockey in person is you have to do it. You have to see it in the stadium at some point. You know, watching on TV is great, but to be a part of it, you know, in the stands is just awesome. So I would say I'm a Tiger fan probably most, and then my love for all sports, you know, what I played was basketball. So, you know, the Pistons are right up there, and then probably the Red Wings, and the only championship I've never seen, and I've not even been to the Super Bowl, is the Lions. So that day that happens, that's going to be there's going to be a lot of joy, tears of joy, I would say.
I like how you're talking about it as if it will happen. I like how you're saying that. You're saying the day that it does happen, when I'm sitting here like, 50, I don't know.
I just turned 59, so I'm saying it's going to happen.
I'm with you, man. I wouldn't be going up there every weekend with Ben if I didn't believe it, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
That is a good point. Interesting part, though, about baseball is, yes, I mean, I'm – do you still like going to Comerica Park? Obviously, nothing beats Tiger Stadium and the memories there, but Comerica Park is, in my opinion, one of the most least talked about ballparks in the country as far as how nice it is, right up there with like Baltimore and Pittsburgh and San Francisco, as far as my opinion's concerned.
Yeah, and we had decided, Leslie and I, my wife, had decided as boys were growing up, we were going to take the boys to go see the Tigers play in different stadiums. And so we've been to Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Kansas City and Cincinnati, Cleveland, many different places, Chicago, both the Cubs and the White Sox. And probably I still think one of the best parks is Comerica Park to watch a game. The food is great. We try to get there early every time we go to a game for batting practice, and the batting practice is fun to snag balls in the home run area or along the wall even. And so it's just a great place. I think for Detroit, they've really turned that city around as far as their stadiums, because all four teams play right there basically in the same block, and there's no other city that does that. And so they've just got a really great area to go into. You think of Detroit, you think of a bad city, but really where their stadiums are, it's pretty pretty friendly and a pretty easy place to get around.
It is pretty friendly. We just saw Eminem had put up a restaurant there called Mas Spaghetti, where a Bengal player went and was thrown up all over the field. So bad opening week for Mas Spaghetti.
Maybe it was on purpose, though, right? It was an opposing player.
Right, like as if Cincinnati's that much better with, you know, chili and cheese, which...
Yeah, exactly.
Which, I mean, I'm a fan of, gotta admit, hand up. So that's actually a good point, though, about, you know, Little Caesars being the place where the Red Wings are playing. They're playing in downtown. That actually goes into my first question I was going to ask you. And it involves Steve Yzerman. And, of course, Steve Yzerman is the, you know, GM of the team now. He has a really – and he's done it before. He's built good teams up in Tampa Bay before. He's obviously a Red Wings legend. Does he – he's got an uphill battle trying to rebuild kind of what was the Detroit Red Wings that he knows and that the most of the hockey fans know were just untouchable players who were – hockey gods, in a sense, when you talk about Lindstrom, Yzerman, Zetterberg, like just Chris Osgood, like just incredible players that will never, Sergei Fedorov, guys that will never be touched.
The five Russians.
The Russian Absolutely. Five.
The Russian five, yep. Those teams, I guess the thing I noticed with those teams and compared to the team that I sometimes watch now, is those teams just had speed. I was always amazed, that we have up in our area, we live close to Fort Wayne, Indiana, so we can go to the Fort Wayne and see the Comets play. So you see minor league hockey, and the thing you notice when you go into that arena is just how slow those guys are. And if there's a guy that's out there and he's skating around everybody, you're probably sure he's going to be in the NHL pretty soon. And so the speed that Yzerman and those guys had just was second to none. It was fun to watch. They just outskated everybody. I will say this. The one thing I see about the Red Wings right now is they're getting that speed back, and that's kind of exciting.
They are. And, you know, looking at that team that Steve Yzerman built, he had young players locked in there that became staples of the franchise, like Steven Stamkos. He had Nikita Kucherov. Those, like, you need to have your franchise players that would be able to be on a top line on any team. And this top line with Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond, and Tyler Bertuzzi, like, do you believe that that top line, you think any of those guys are a start to what Steve Yzerman is trying to build?
Absolutely. When the first time I saw, you know, Larkin a couple years ago, just the size, you know, and just the speed he has and the skill he has with the puck, you could just tell right then that he had the talent, you know. And so now they're, of course, as bad as they've been able to draft, you know, pretty high, and they're landing new guys here in the last year. And even the new rookie here has, I think he has 3 assists already in the first 2 games.
Moritz Seider. Yeah, your defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And so you just see it starting to build around. And so that's really, it's really neat to see again.
Yeah, I mean, it is really unique to see. And, you know, what was one thing that was interesting about me growing up a Jackets fan, and you obviously being my uncle who was a Red Wings fan, is I grew up during a time when the Red Wings were literally the scariest thing known to Blue Jackets fans, where you just came into every single night, you'd come into Nationwide and beat the Jackets 6-2, 6-1, just
right.
Made us feel like the smallest franchise ever. And you added to the fire. You used to do it as a joke, and looking back, it was hilarious. But it was scarring for a time. You used to call them whenever I'd wear like a Blue Jackets thing. You'd be like, "Oh, you got the Crapitz on. You're Crapitz fan." This is so funny looking back on it.
Either that, or you were being punished by somebody that you had to wear that stuff.
Yes. You loved the jokes, You know, rightfully so. I mean, the Red Wings were disgusting back then, just an insane team, like you said, incredibly fast. But the Blue Jackets, obviously, the last few years have been, you know, reaping the benefits of playing under Tortorella and having good talent in ourselves, made a couple playoffs here, and I've actually gotten the better end of the Blue Jackets Red Wings rivalry, if there's anything there. For the first time in over 2 seasons, the Red Wings are favorites tonight against the Blue Jackets. Do you believe in the Red Wings? Do you think they can get it done tonight?
Again, with the speed and what I've seen, I've just been pleasantly surprised. I've watched a few of the preseason games, and I even told my wife the other day, I said, I think these Red Wings are not bad, just because they look different. You know, when you go through the spell, and as Blue Jacket fans, you know that. When you started out as a Blue Jacket fan and you saw the other teams come in and skate all over and all around you, and you continue to finish in last place, and the Red Wings just went through all that, then when they up their talent and they up their speed, and you start to see that on the ice, you know. And so they had their downfalls a little bit. You know, that first game, they were up, I think, 4-1 or 5-1 and ended up losing it. There was a point where the Lightning, I think it looked like they were on a power play for about 3 minutes, and it was a 5-on-5, and I'm like, well, what's going on here? So there's going to be growing pains. You understand that with a young team, you know, but yet, you can at least see the light at the end of the tunnel now.
Yeah. Now, the Lightning will do that to you. They'll literally just make you feel like they'll crush any confidence you had in your favorite team being competitive at all. Yep. All right, man. Well, I mean, what is the next
Well, here's another thing, Hayden, that I really liked about this Red Wings team.
Go, please give it to me.
On this team, we have a Suter, we have a Lidstrom, we have a Bertuzzi. You know, we have some pretty famous last names.
Yeah, that's true. You can kind of see what Yzerman's doing, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, man, those aren't those same guys, but they're, you know, maybe they're bred right. So,
well, that's the thing about, you know, it's an underrated thing talking about moving out of Joe Louis Arena. When you take a team that just ended a 25-year playoff streak and put them in a brand new arena and they're going through a rebuild, it is it is so hard to kind of get players to buy into a team history or, you know, any sort of, you know what I mean? Like, that is a difficult thing to go through in a rebuild. You know what I, like, if they were going, if they were doing this thing at the Joe and they were walking in and seeing those banners every night and knowing the kind of teams that had played there, I actually think it'd be different. So that is a credit to Yzerman for going through that.
Right,
you know?
And having Yzerman back is huge. You saw what he did to Tampa, and you know he's going to do it in Detroit. So I think that in itself causes players to want to come and be part of something that's going to be new. You're actually seeing it with the Tigers here, you know, recently, you know, with their rebuild. And you know, I was really impressed with their season this summer. Didn't finish above 500, finished in third place, but boy, they were fun to watch, and they're young and upcoming. And so I see that in the Red Wings too.
They were fun to watch. I remember we were out on the course late in the summer, and I was like, we were still talking about the Tigers being just only 8 games out at that point, and it was such a huge win for us. But yeah, they were really competitive, and they got some good fire underneath them. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for hopping on, and I'm sorry your golf outing got canceled this past Saturday.
Well, it sounds like Sunday, but it sounds like your dad and I are going to be at it again. We're going to try it again. They rescheduled it, and so we'll see what happens.
Now, is that the big hole tournament that Ben sometimes talks about, like where they make the holes bigger? Yeah. That is what you're playing
in? Rather than 4-inch holes, which a normal golf hole is, I believe, maybe 3.5, something like that. Sometimes it feels like it's 2 inches. These are about 8 inches. And so it's that, and they set the holes clear off to the side of the greens in some of the toughest places you'll ever see a hole, because they don't want to ruin the greens.
Right.
They don't put it anywhere in the middle. And so they're very tough places, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that this Sunday.
Yeah. All right, man. You guys have a lot of fun during that.
Sure. So we will do that. And if we're closing here, I only have one thing to say, okay?
Yeah. Give it to me.
Yeah, go Wings.
Okay, all right, Uncle Steve. And with that, I end you right now. I hang up on you.
All right.
What a great guy. What a great guy. Hey, if you guys need anybody to come on your hockey podcast and deliver some Red Wings news, my Uncle Steve, he's available. So that was great stuff. I mean, listen, there's nothing like talking to a real fan of a team, getting their honest opinions of the team, and Uncle Steve is a Red Wings fan, and he's been through it. He's been through the great, like, it's crazy thinking what the Red Wings used to be. Like, they were just had an unbelievable team that would beat up on any opponent any night, multiple cups, just one under Mike Babcock, but three of them at least before that, two of them in the late 90s, just unbelievable dynasty that they had, a true, just untouchable team. It's hard to rebuild that. And when you look at this Red Wings team, they're obviously different than that, even though my Uncle Steve mentioned that they are bringing in some guys like Lindstrom and Bertuzzi who, you know, can instantly bring up the memory of some of the great players. But it is an interesting game. Jackets are 2-0. It is the first time they've never gone 3-0. I heard that on Bishop and Lauren Ice today with Jody Shelley. He was on. He brought that fact up. The Jackets have never started 3-0. And Jody Shelley said, you know, that's kind of surprising. I kind of say not really. I mean, going 3-0, winning three games in the National Hockey League is not easy for a lot of teams. Look at some of the teams already that have already lost a game. Even some of the best teams in the league already have a loss. So considering the Blue Jackets' history, it's not really surprising to me that they've never gone 3-0. And they've had some good luck here playing the Coyotes and the Seattle Kraken, both of which looked absolutely pretty bad tonight, or last night, the night before. I really, really dumbly bet on the Coyotes suicide bet. Luckily, a bet that I had made earlier in the week, Titans to win against the Bills hit, so I do have a little bit in the tank. And I will say this. I do think the Jackets need to get out to a hot start tonight. I do think the Jackets will get out to a hot start tonight. Just when you're a team that's 2-0 and you know you're playing another opponent that you can beat, you've gotten some good wins. Jackets have trailed, obviously, before, but they only trailed by one goal to Seattle, completely dominated the first two games, obviously, in the score. And I think offensively, like, when you wanted to score goals in that game against Seattle, when you really needed to, you were able to. So now you're looking at and just what the fact that the Red Wings are favorites in this game and the Jackets aren't favorites is just a tall telling sign, not only about the Red Wings, but about the Jackets, man. So many people are counting out the Jackets and are saying that the Jackets are going to be bottom five in this league. And I'm not crazy enough to say that they won't be for sure. I'm not crazy enough to say that they won't be for sure. I tend to think that they won't be, though. Like, I think it's more likely that they will not be. I think they'll surprise a lot of people throughout the rest of the year. And I just told you on the last night's podcast that I just think this team's just different with guys like Voracek and Bjorkstrand and Patrick Laine. I think you're talking about Olympians on the team. You're talking about players that led their countries to Olympic qualification. Like, this is a lot of talent on the team. This isn't just some garbage, you know, 2016 Yotes team. It's not a Yotes team from this year. Look at the two. They're expecting the Jackets to be right up next to the Yotes in terms of the league standings. Look at what the score of the game was the other night. The Jackets destroyed them, according to Elvis Merz Lincolns, which was hilarious, by the way. I think this Jackets team's a lot better, and I think they have a chance to go 3-0. I think building confidence early on in the season can set you up for a good rest of the year. It's not a guarantee, obviously, that you're going to just continue to win games. But to stack these wins early, and in late February is when the Olympics are. In early February, when it gets hard and you're not finding ways to get a win, you can remember the team you were at the beginning of the season. And it's just really important for the Jackets to get wins right now. So I believe that the Jackets will get a win tonight. I'm locking that in for sure. And yeah, that's about it. Otherwise, I'll be watching the game at Tom's. I'll be buzzing. It's going to be fun. And so, all right. Well, I'll talk to you guys later tonight when the Jackets hopefully pull off a 3-2 dub. That's the score. That's the official prediction of tonight's game. 3-2. Let's see it, Coats. Tell your dog.
The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand and take it easy.